Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, this 129th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
This is Chris.
Hey, was that better for you, Chris?
Yeah.
Last week you were bitching and moaning. Yeah,
reminds me of the good old days.
Yeah, all right, when you weren't on the show.
Yeah. Listeners are gone.
Yeah, you didn't have listeners either.
He's not wrong.
Yeah, it's true. It's, apparently, douchebags equal ratings, I suppose.
Yes!
Thanks so much for tuning in to us, douchebags. you know, we got some other things to talk about this week. We decided we're going to add in some talk other than, you know, our normal Lucha Underground, NXT, Raw stuff, you know, which, oh, by the way, we have a pay-per-view coming up, so I guess we'll do a pay-per-view preview. We also have, you know, Ring of Honor doing some interesting things, causing some waves. So we're going to be talking
so
a little bit about...
we're going to be going from Raw to Row?
Raw?
Whatever.
Okay. So, yes.
Horrible transition.
Yeah. All right. So, ever since before we started recording here, Chris has been flipping through his phone, looking at the card and stuff for all the Ring of Honor stuff, and he's been creaming his pants and making all kinds of little noises. So,
well, actually, somebody else alerted us to the Ring of Honor stuff.
Oh, and who is that?
Oh, it was me.
Yeah.
Oh, you, yeah. Travis.
Yeah. He was creaming.
Yeah, see? Yeah.
Ah. I just, you know, this I've been seeing this on Facebook and everything from Ring of Honor. They've been announcing all these matches for this crossover event that they're doing with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Hey,
yes, don't. I figured, hey, you know what? It's not until next month, but why not just at least get the word out so people can prepare themselves,
yeah,
if they want to check out the shows.
With an S?
Yeah, plural. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Chris, do you have some information about this?
Whew. Night one.
Okay, what is this? I mean, is this a pay-per-view? Is this a TV show, a taping?
War of the Worlds. Both of these War of the World shows are live events.
Ooh.
So these are like house shows to tune up for Global Wars,
okay,
which are also New Japan Pro Wrestling tie-in, co-promoted shows. Those shows are happening Friday and Saturday. 15th and 16th on pay-per-view from Toronto.
So there's two pay-per-views.
Yeah.
Back-to-back. Oof.
So these are like the appetizers for everybody to get their ring rust off or whatever. War of the Worlds, night one. Just listen to these matches.
Yeah, okay.
Delirious against Gato.
Nice.
Jay Lethal against Watanabe. Roderick Strong against Kushida.
Okay.
The Addiction versus the Kingdom versus the Young Bucks in a triple threat tag match.
Fuck.
You got Abel's attention now.
Michael Elgin against Tetsuya Naito.
Okay.
Red Dragon against Hiroshi Tanahashi and Jushin Thunder Liger.
Fuck.
Phenomenal AJ Styles against a mystery opponent.
Ooh.
That will not be announced until the moment AJ Styles is in the ring ready for his match.
Interesting.
And the main event for night one, Kazuchika Okada and the King of Strong Style, Shinsuke Nakamura against the Briscoes.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's going to be a stiff match.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fun match.
Yeah.
That's night one.
That's the opening. Yeah.
Itch. Now we get to night knee.
That's one. That's Japanese.
Michael Elgin against Kushida. Adam Page against Watanabe. Roderick Strong against Tanahashi.
Nice.
Kyle O'Reilly against Naito. The Addiction against Okada and Gato.
Nice.
World Television Champion Jay Lethal versus Shinsuke Nakamura versus Mark Briscoe versus Jushin Thunder Liger. Four-way match. Four-corner survival.
Yeah.
ROH title. Jay Briscoe against Bobby Fish.
Nice.
From Red Dragon.
Nice. Yeah.
Main event. Six men. AJ Styles and the Young Bucks from the Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. Against the Kingdom. Okay. Cole, Taven, and Bennett.
Hey.
Now you got my attention.
Abel creamed over night one, and now Travis is erect for night two. And that's the appetizer compared to what Global Wars is offering. They haven't even announced anything from Global Wars yet. That should be happening tomorrow, because it sounds like, from what I've read off, both of the cards from both nights have already been established.
Okay.
So most likely by the end of the week, one, if not two, of the Global Wars shows will have already been.
Is anything happening on these War of the Worlds that's going to affect what's happening in Global Wars, or is it just two separate events? Do we know?
Two separate events that we know of. Wouldn't shock me if they pull something.
Like some kind of tournament or something like that, or where everything.
Or a title change or something.
Yeah, I mean, all that stuff that you were saying, there's, you know, pretty exciting stuff. It's just a shame that it's not going to be televised or anything like that. So you kind of teased us there for nothing. Like, look at all this awesome stuff you're not going to see. Like, oh, thanks, Chris.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like when we went to San Antonio. It wasn't a TV tape or anything, but they released it on DVD, you know, on the streaming.
That is true.
So I'm assuming, if nothing else, it's going to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be worth, what, $10 for DVD?
Yeah.
$25 for the two-pack.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, Ring of Honor is doing some interesting stuff, man, and they're, I don't want to say slowly, but they're steadily, I guess, creating buzz and doing things, you know, Laura.
Rolling with the momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damn, a part of me still wishes they were able to pull off Bryan against Nakamura at the live event tour of Japan.
Dude, that would be so cool.
WWE had the, whatever the Japanese word for cojones.
The bullies,
the testicles. I mean, if that's the kind of stuff to expect from Global Wars, I wouldn't mind watching one or both of the DVD pay-per-views.
Yeah, I wonder how jealous all that is making Kenta. You know, oh man, I could have been a part of all of that. I wonder if he even gives a shit. You know, considering now that he's on. You know, NXT, he probably doesn't care. He had his moment at WrestleMania, but I wonder if there's a twinge there of, man, that sounds like some really cool stuff that's going
on. Probably, he's already been there, done that, though.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's into bigger things, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's watching, and I'm sure he's liking what he's liking, like any coworkers or, you know, friends or whatever that are able to be on all that.
Whispering in Triple H's ear, Bobby Fish. Man, look at Bobby Fish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, something like that.
So, well, speaking of NXT, let's go ahead and transition into the neighborhood. All right, the NXT neighborhood. This past week was supposed to be the big debut of a new NXT diva named Dana Brooke.
Who's Travis, the floor is yours.
Oh, thank you, Chris. they've been, like you said, they've been hyping her up for, what, 3 weeks now?
Something like that.
I mean, the graphics and everything, they made her look good.
Right.
Like she's almost, appearance-wise only, maybe like a Beth Phoenix-type character. That's what I got from it, her, the ring attire and her looks and everything, but...
Like she had her penis turned inside out, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
This guy. So...
That was my Ace Ventura moment during that. Like, I'm looking for it, because she did...
Just the whole... I was kind of confused because they're all about self-promoting this and that on Twitter and Facebook and just on the network and just in the show itself. And she was being all nice and friendly and everything on on all the promotions and all the tweets and
social
all that.
Social media and everything, yeah.
And then she comes out as a heel, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then these dances and gyrations and movements she was doing, very weird and awkward. And then she starts wrestling and it's worse. It's like, I don't know.
Poor Blue Pants.
Yeah.
She went from the clearance rack to the donation bin. I mean, You could tell she tried to make an effort to sell some of the stuff.
Good
that
for
was
Blue
doing.
Pants because she got bigger reaction than this chick did.
Yeah. Blue Pants kind of made herself look a lot better than who's supposed to be the new hotness.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, good on Blue Pants.
Like she was, it just felt really forced for her character. Like whatever the hell she was supposed to do.
It felt like a transvestite learning the female moves and the female mannerisms as opposed to a female just being natural and organic. That did,
yeah.
She did not look natural in anything
awkward.
She did.
It looked awkward. That's what,
yeah.
Yeah, I think that what they were trying to go with her is that they wanted to show, oh wow, yeah, she's in these, you know, bodybuilding competitions. Oh wow, she's so strong and this and that. But instead of her coming out like Beth Phoenix, where she's going to be powerful and kick your ass and have a whole lot of strong moves, they had her going out there gyrating and rubbing up and down her body and make, oh look how sexy I am. Like,
did you see me flex my muscle enough? Yeah.
It didn't connect. Like what you're saying, it doesn't connect.
Yeah,
like you're expecting one thing and you get something else.
Yeah.
And then plus with it being a heel character when you thought it was
going
to
be face.
It was all
weird. It was just a mishmash of a lot of stuff with their character. And I was willing to kind of look past that and evaluate that differently than I was going to evaluate how she actually wrestled in the ring. And I wasn't impressed at all. There was nothing that she actually did that was different or new or innovative. Ironically, so one of the things that one of the announcers said to try to put her over, oh, innovative offense from Dana Brooke when she tried to do like a some sort of dropkick thing while Blue Pants was in like the corner or a tree of woe or something like that.
Some weird
like,
move.
Oh, okay, well, you get an E for effort for trying something different. But everything else, it was like schoolgirl, hammerlock, you know, very basic stuff. Like, more basic than Carmella's first matches. That's saying a lot.
Yeah.
I saw better wrestling from videos of wrestling memes that they posted of Eva Marie training with Brian Kendrick. I saw better wrestling from Eva Marie training than I saw Dana Brooke in the ring.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I get it. She has a look. I don't want to say the look. She has a look, but you're marketing it kind of in a way that you're trying to sell me a cheeseburger and then you hand me a chicken sandwich, basically, with her. That's what you're doing. I mean, not saying that what you got with her is bad. Just saying what you're giving to me is different.
It was pretty bad.
face turn heel. It would have been easier to swallow if they at least accentuated her whatever it is that differentiates her from everything else. There, other than like the repetitive posing, there wasn't anything in her moveset that screamed bodybuilder, that screamed power, that screamed menacing, of feeling you would get when you look at a bodybuilder and go, fuck. I didn't get that presence
that
in
goes
her
back
moveset
to what,
alone, let alone what
that goes back to what
do.
I was saying when I got the visual image of Beth Phoenix, knowing that she was a bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Her attire, her look, everything. I said, okay, they're just going to try to bring in that feel because there's no big heavy hitting divas right now.
Right.
I don't think.
That being said, even though she has a lot of toned muscle, she's not
big.
That big of
she's
a girl.
Not, she's not built. She's not heavy. She's
she's not even that tall. Like, if she was taller and as toned as she is, I'd be like, okay. Like, if
she's no Jazz.
Yeah, hell, we keep comparing her to Beth Phoenix. She's no Beth Phoenix.
Right.
I think
she's
Beth
no
Phoenix
Jacqueline.
Is bigger than her. Than her.
There was a time in TNA, Jacqueline looked bigger than this chick.
Yeah.
You know? It just...
I mean, she just looked like a more toned version of Blue Pants.
All right. So, basically, we don't like her. What's next?
Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs down.
Down.
Okay.
So far. I mean, they could tweak some things, and I
You know what? In their only defense, NXT, in its definition, is developmental.
Yeah.
So, that's my only saving grace on that.
Tweak it.
Give me a thumbs up from the show, Abel.
How about things with Cass and Enzo? Oh.
Yes.
Cass and Enzo, and, well, Carmella. I love it whenever they come out and they do their little trash talking thing. No, it just makes me happy.
This is the first time that the three of them looked like they belong together. Like in the beginning, the Carmella stuff felt kind of forced, but now it feels
I got something about that.
It kind of looks like the three peas in a pod kind of thing. At least for me.
Yeah, it start there. Yeah, they are starting now to get on the same page. Like they're all liking each other. I think they almost, to a point, they just screw up her character. Because the first, like, two or three weeks that she was debuting, they were at odds. Like, she was a heel, pretty much, and they were faces. And she would get booed to the point where when I was watching, I was thinking they were going to maybe get rid of her and bring on Blue Pants.
Yeah.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah.
Now they backtracked that motion, mm-hmm. and now it's like they're trying, like, if you notice when they're talking, she's over here, like, cheerleading them on. Yeah. And it's like, even when he says, hey, this is Carmella, like, people still boo.
Like, even though she's not as much,
but they still
they're still booing.
Yeah, she still gets a negative reaction. Just not as loud.
Well, see, I don't know if it's as much backtracking as it is they're growing on her and she's growing on them kind of thing.
Yeah.
It helps that there's somebody from the outside trying to separate them.
Exactly.
The vibe of the thing starting to get together now comes into play for me, because someone's trying to already break it.
Enzo's jealousy towards, Blake and Murphy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Towards Blake and Murphy's advancements on Carmella kind of makes Carmella more a part of the group.
Yeah.
So I think that's storyline progression there with that. I don't think they're backpedaling. I think they're going somewhere with that.
Well, my original point was they messed up when they first debuted her.
Yeah. As
literally, you can say what you want. She was debuted as a heel.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, she was doing heelish things. So,
Do you like her better now, or do you like the character better in the beginning?
It's growing. It's still growing on me. I'm not.
I like her character now, like who she is in the group, in the stable, or whatever you want to call it, of these Guidos here. Yeah. Like, I like that. We still need to see her, some improvements of her in the ring. I love that submission finisher that she does, but she was pretty much a one-trick pony with that.
Yeah.
But I want to see her do more things in the
ring. Now, she might just end up being a valet, and that could be fine, too.
Yeah.
Mm. What's wrong with having a valet? We need more managers of valets.
Yeah, she's a valet, and, she's hot as hell.
And you can't teach that.
Right, yeah. All right.
He softballed that one, too.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Gore. Yeah, Rhino. Trying to cut the line to get to the top against Sami Zayn.
Yep. Decent little match, I'd say, with those two. I mean, I don't know if it was a world breaker or anything like that, but it was cool. I'm willing to give it match of the week candidacy. What about you two?
I would make it a candidate. I mean, it told the story of Sami Zayn being the underdog pretty well. It's been done better with Zayn, but not to say that this was like utter shit. Like, I watched it and I enjoyed it, and I don't regret not watching it.
Yeah.
But comparing it to whatever else happened this week, there's a lot of other stuff that's...
Mm-hmm. I enjoyed the match. I just think it may, for me, just kind of start off a little bit too slow.
Yeah.
It kind of went, I don't know. When these matches start up, it's getting to a point where now you kind of have to have a certain amount of patience or whatever to kind of get past like the filling out process or the starting off point of the match to get to where you know where you're going to get to.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it just kind of took a while for me.
That might have been because it was the first time seeing them on television together against each other. Maybe once, if they pair them up again, they might not have that same
feel out. And I mentioned this last week on the show, where ever since WrestleMania, for me personally, I've been kind of...
The momentum feels like it's off.
I'm getting a weird vibe from NXT ever since WrestleMania, and I'm just slowly trying to get back on track with it. And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with me getting into this match. Because up until last week, I think I forgot about Rhino even being on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sami Zayn's been out of action for how long?
Yeah, this was his first match back after the title loss.
So seeing these two guys, it's kind of threw me all off. So
it was... I understand the awkwardness there with the feeling out process of the match first time, them, wrestling and stuff. So, I mean, I still enjoyed the match for what it was, but I'm not, like, over the moon with it. Yeah. So, I kind of understand. But what I feel like is happening here is Sami Zayn needs a win. Sami Zayn needs a program to work so that we could build him back up so that he could be a viable threat to the title again. Oh, let's sign Rhino for a temporary contract and throw Rhino at him and let him beat Rhino.
I can't remember. Zayn won, right? Huh? Zayn won the match, right?
Yeah.
See, it's a good match, but obviously it didn't really stick with me that much. So.
And there's also, I hate to say it, but it's falling back to the D-Bry syndrome where why is he trying to wrestle to get back into the front of the line? He still has a rematch clause. Like, at some point, that has to be addressed. Otherwise...
Well, he's not fighting to get back in the line. Rhino was the one who wanted to cut the line, and mm-hmm. Rhino pretty much challenged him. He said... I think he even said it before the match itself. Sami Zayn said something like... Yeah, something along the lines of, wow, I thought I was, you know, next up for a title, but this guy wants to, you know, so I'll take him out.
Nah. Yeah,
something along those lines. But, okay, so, decent-ish kind of week for NXT. I mean, I think we had more low points than we did high points, but, yeah, so that's that. So out of the, neighborhood and into the barrio.
LAX?
Okay.
Cheat box over here.
Yeah. Lucha Underground. All right. What do we want to start off with, Chris?
My match of the week. Pick.
Oh.
Match number 5. Aerostar contra el Drago.
Yes.
Para la oportunidad de Cueto.
Sí.
Yeah.
I don't know what he said.
The unique opportunity for boss man Jefe Cueto.
Ah, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. Yeah. Unique opportunity.
Thank you.
Yes. Hi.
Hi.
All right. So, yeah. I think I'm right along there with you saying that that's my match of the week pick. Aerostar versus Drago. Drago? Why did I say it like that? Drago.
You've been hanging around me too much.
I was trying to overcompensate for Pepe Le Pew over here.
You can't do that. There's a...
Yeah. I really, really enjoyed the match. I think it was the best out of their series. I'm not saying it just because it was the last match of the series. I really think that they went all out and it was the best. Out of the best of 5. It was very fun. Very fast paced. It really looked like... Like, you could see the difference between match 5 and match 1, or hell, match 3, because 1 and 2, they didn't realize that they were in the best of whatever series. Like, the first few matches were, oh, friendly scrimmages. But this was, damn it, this was for all the marbles. Yeah, we're going to go at it full force. You know, with the little preview promos beforehand, one with Aerostar on the roof.
Loved that. Oh, my God. That was probably my favorite moment of the show.
Yeah, Aerostar on the roof.
Staring at the skies and Cueto calling him out on it.
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to go back to the sky or are you going to go down to the pits of hell with Drago? It's like, oh, yeah. God.
And then the promo with Drago in the bathroom again. Last time I talked to you here. And, oh, I love that little callback. Mm-hmm. That you'll come in full circle.
Yeah, everything matters in that show.
Apparently, hell is in a small bathroom.
If you've had to eat what I just ate before we recorded, you would understand.
That is right. We're on a time limit for him to get out of my house.
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, the bomb will drop.
You dialed 9 and 1, and when I go in there, press 1 again.
No, I just told you to get the hell out of my house.
Yeah. Don't fertilize my lawn.
Ah, you beat me to it.
So, Aerostar versus Drago. Great, great, great stuff. And then, end of the match. Well, we get to find out what the unique opportunity is.
Mm-hmm, yes.
And I gotta admit, that was a little bit of a roller coaster for me. Because at first it was like, oh, you get a shot against Puma. What? That's it? Like, that's all it was? Like, I was a little disappointed. Like, I was expecting something fucking crazy, like you won, but you really lost. You know, like that's what I was expecting.
And then
I was like, oh, it's just a chance. Well, okay, that's great. He's got a shot against Puma. That'll be a good match. So I was like, down. Now I'm back up. Okay, good, good. But if you lose, oh shit! If you lose, you are gone from my temple forever. No, what the fuck? Threw over
this
my
is not
table.
A video podcast.
Yeah, I like turned over the fucking table and I was like, no, what the hell? You can't do that. No, I don't want Puma to lose the title, but I don't want Drago gone forever. Ah! You know?
First reaction when you heard it, Travis?
Same thing. Just not as
animated.
Yes, or crazy.
Because you like your furniture.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, yeah, it was... I was expecting something crazy and similar, but yeah, and then the title shot, huh? Okay. And then I was like, okay, well, where's the little switch at, you know? Mm-hmm. And there it is. And I was like, okay, well, that kind of sucks because I like Drago as a character.
Yeah.
I distinctly remember screaming, damn out loud at the end.
And at then, the Starbucks where you were watching it.
Exactly. At the, and then all these people are looking at me like, what the fuck is this guy's problem? He just had hot chocolate. What the fuck is this? Oh my God. That has me very intrigued in the match.
Yes.
Very. Like, where
the
hell
are
they
going? Know what? I've said it before and I'll say it again. This is Lucha Underground. Just because, like, you've already dispositioned it as this Drago's going to leave. Like, he's going to leave. So.
I don't know.
Exactly.
Well, that was my initial thought. My WWE mind right. was going, okay, well, they obviously can't get rid of this guy because he's so good. So I guess that means he's winning. I guess they're taking the title off of Puma. They're like, oh, hold on. This is Lucha Underground. This isn't WWE. They could actually be getting rid of this guy. That would suck, but... Dude, the cojones that it would take to do that. Oh, you love this guy? Fuck you. He's gone. You're going to like somebody else now because we're that good at making new people.
Because there's
like,
Mexicans everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Like, what? Wow. So I really don't know what they're doing with it.
We haven't seen Huertas since that casket match. He could might as well be gone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And I love the character Huertas.
Yeah.
How many more of these? This is the Marvel character factory. How many more of them are they going to crank out?
Yeah. You know,
at some point, they're going to run out of gas.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck, man. Now,
my only gripe about the whole situation is
same as last week.
Same as last week.
Gotcha.
It's Cueto.
I thought you were going to go there.
It's Cueto. He's just becoming just a generic.
The line's not blurred anymore. It's obvious.
He's a heel authority figure. That's what he is now.
He's a heel authority figure just for the sake of being a heel authority figure.
Right.
Like, I'm just going to be a dick to the faces because somebody needs to be a dick to the faces so that there's conflict. Right.
I would be more okay with it if it was a heel that won the match.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
is Drago a heel?
Yeah.
Is he a heel?
At this moment, I don't consider that as being a heel, because they both know what they got themselves into when this whole thing started.
No, that's what I'm saying. If I, like right now, I consider Drago a face.
Mm-hmm.
But if I would be more okay with the Cueto situation or stipulation if Drago was a heel. That way it wouldn't be just a heel authority figure right. fucking over the faces.
Well, there could be a case made that Drago is a heel. But, like, the line is so blurry with him. Like, I'm not sure.
I think he was more competitive in this yeah. in the series matches because he was a face during the King Cuerno matches.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I've been watching enough of Lucha that I can differentiate it from the corporate stuff, and I don't see heels and faces in a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking, okay, these both guys got a unique opportunity. It's a fucking unique opportunity. It didn't matter if it was a face or a heel or somebody in the middle. They would have got the same deal. So in this instance, I don't think it's Cueto just out and out being a bad guy. This is what they got themselves into, and that's the reward they got. And you don't know what it was going to be.
Well, here's where I see where you're coming from, Trav. Your problem is with the fuzzy motivation of Cueto. You know, why is he right. motivated to do this? Beforehand, it was like, okay, well, he's motivated because he wants to protect his business. He's serving this cult,
yeah.
apparently.
That's already that gone. Has some, yeah.
Like, that. This decision and the decision last week was just, I'm going to fuck with my guys because I want to fuck with yeah. my guys kind of thing. You know?
I think the stuff with Sexy Star is blatant. I think unless he comes out on an episode and straight up says, all right, I hate my champion so much that whoever's going to wrestle him, if they can't beat them, why do I want them here? That's a heelish thing to say. That's a
yeah.
heel.
But that hasn't been
asserted yet.
That also has more motivation behind the character. That yeah. shows more of the reasoning as to why he's doing it as he's doing it. What Travis is saying is that this is more like there is no motivation other than, well, I don't. Like, I'm the bad guy, and I'm going to do bad guy things to make people mad, and that's it. Like, I wish there was something more to it. I see
heel,
what Travis is saying.
A heel manager wouldn't have been threatened by three black guys and paid them off so they wouldn't beat him up.
Right.
So that's not necessarily a heel character thing to do.
Heels are cowards.
Most of the time, yeah.
I think the selling point for me on this is that the next time there's a tournament or a match for a Cueto's unique opportunity, I'm fucking watching that without missing it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, hey, let's just have a cage match because it's a cage match. Or, hey, let's have a guy versus girl because it's something you don't normally see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they've already established what a big deal a Cueto opportunity can be. That it's, especially when there's no mid-card belts or there isn't any other, like, single title. Yeah. It's either the Trios or the Lucha Underground title. And as far as I know, up to now, the Mega Champion has championship hasn't been in play for anybody other than the two guys that are already in AAA.
Yeah.
So there has to be another incentive for the rest of the mid-carders or the rest of the non-title main event guys to hunt for. And if the unique opportunity is there, I find it on the same footing.
Okay.
As far as relevance goes. Mm-hmm. So I think to establish the relevance of his unique opportunity, I think it did what it was supposed to do.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any more unique opportunities because it was unique.
Ah, this guy. All right, so we also had another interesting match that did involve Prince Puma. It was part of the Trios tournament. It was Team Puma versus Team Cuerno.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oof da.
I did not see that ending coming.
No? Why not? No.
They've been building up Puma so well. I thought that he was just going to go over.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody to pin the champ, I was like, okay.
Especially the guy that's been gunning for him, Cuerno. You know, Cuerno pinned Puma.
It's what you called building the program, building the story, you know, getting your momentum going. Unlike what you see in WWE all the time, where it's just the same two people fight every single time and the same people win all the time. And so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, bad guys won. They go into the finals, which is a triple threat trios match elimination.
I think so.
Yeah, which I didn't realize that that's what they were building towards. I thought it was going to be, you know, one team versus one team and, you know, go on, so forth and so on.
Duh, trios three.
Well, I guess three versus three versus three. Yeah. But, yeah, that's what we're getting. And then after that match, which, again, another match of the week candidate. after that, we had a preview of what's going to be this next week, where a member from each of the three teams fought. So it was, okay, well, we're going to throw Cage in there from Team Cuerno.
The Mac.
The Mac from Team
Team Rick. Domination.
Yeah, yeah. Team Domination. And Son of Havoc from Team Havoc?
It was all the...
Team Love Triangle?
Team Threesome.
Yes.
I guess it was all the big hitters, the big guns, I guess.
Yeah. It's weird saying that that's the big hitter, so, with Son Havoc, who's not really that big of a guy.
Well, in their team.
Yeah, yes. In his team, he'd probably be the heaviest hitter, I suppose.
I don't know, ask Eva Lise. She'll probably tell you otherwise.
Ah! Yeah,
that's true. It's freaking Eva Lise. what'd you guys think about that match?
It was a nice appetizer.
Yeah, I think that's all it was supposed to be. It was just nothing much to it,
It caught my eye. I wasn't really looking the first time, but it was easier for me to notice. Damn, there's something about Willie Mack.
The Mack.
Something about the Mack. He's got potential. He's got potential there. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
I think so,
too. He's fucking fat, though, but shit.
He's fat, but he can move.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, he can move a lot better than other fat guys like Samoa Joe and Kevin Steen.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, you don't think...
Now, probably. Joe then? Shit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steen's just like...
I wouldn't compare the Mac to those two guys at all.
No?
I'm sorry. He did some impressive movements in the ring, but not to levels of the other guys you just mentioned. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No.
As far as move, I wouldn't say that's what got my attention. He can hang, but I think there's a subtle charisma in what he does and how he pulls his stuff off that got my attention the most.
Yeah.
That if they give him time to nurture that, it can be something really good.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we'll see more out of Mac and all three of those guys involved in that match this week, because all three of them are going to be in that Trios triple threat for the Trios championship. So,
which team do you like the most?
Man, I've really been liking all the thing going on in Team Threesome.
Beat me to it.
Yeah,
too.
That I'm really digging stuff that's going on there.
Is it a foregone conclusion that they're winning it?
No,
not in Lucha.
No,
not in Lucha. It's not. I don't know. There's such a combustible element in those three individuals.
Yeah,
I just want to see what happens when they get into the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Especially last week, fucking Eva Lise took off. Like, bye, bitches. And then she still won.
And she was pissed. And I've never seen someone upset at winning.
Yeah, yeah. She was like turning around. Fuck, we won? Damn. Great stuff. Nice little plot twist there for that. Yeah. Which, you don't see that.
It's, I'm trying to think of the other two teams. I mean, they're like, for me personally, they overshadow the other two teams. Because we got them, we have Big Rick's team, and then we have Corno's team, right?
Yeah.
I don't think Corno's team's going to win just because he's got the momentum going into with Puma.
With the singles?
Yeah.
There really isn't a legitimate face team in there. Big Rick's a bunch of tweeners.
Nobody's. We don't know who they are yet. I mean, the Mac and then the
Killshot.
Yeah. We like the evil things that the three people in the threesome are doing to each other, which is why we find it entertaining.
Yeah.
And then Cuerno's group, they're just a bunch of straight up heels. There isn't really a legitimate face for the little kids.
It depends on where they're going to go with once they crown the champs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if this is going to be something that they're going to be, like, showcasing and they're always going to be together, then maybe Cuerno's team, because they're, like, they
don't look good together.
They're the most put together team. Like, you could see them.
They actually dominate.
Yeah, they could, like.
They're the most functional team.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, you know what? I'd say Big Rick's team's probably the most functional.
I don't know that much. When I see them, they're his crew, right?
You haven't seen enough of them in the ring.
No, his cousins, right? Is what it was. Yeah. They're his cousins. So they're family. So, yeah, they could be. But, I don't know. But that'd be funny as hell for the threesome team to win that one.
Yeah.
Menage.
Yeah.
Team Menage. Yeah.
That's it. Make a shirt.
Yeah. All right. One other thing from Lucha Underground. Pentagon. Oh.
Wow.
I loved
that picture
this.
With Puma and Scorpion. That was awesome.
What?
Oh, the Mortal Kombat picture.
Yeah, that was cool. But that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is Pentagon was in the ring with the announcer chick. He whispered in the announcer chick's ear. And then she said, okay, introducing, you know, whatever, and he's gonna sacrifice his next victim or something like that.
He dedicates his next sacrifice to his master.
That's what it is, yeah. Not knowing that she was going to be the sacrifice.
That was brilliantly done, by the way.
Yeah, it was good.
All that whole segment was just gold.
Yeah, it's great. She's like starting to walk away and like. Chris, you care to elaborate any more than what you just did?
No, I think that sums it up.
I think if last week didn't do a good enough job of establishing the fact that Pentagon's a guy that you should hate,
yep,
unless you are a severe masochist, this is a guy you need to hate.
Right. They're really laying it on thick with, hey, you should be booing this guy. But people are still kind of cheering for him.
Because she looked annoying in the beginning, and she can't enunciate, and she looks like an ironing board, and she deserved to get hit. And I was like, yeah.
I like to see the ironing boards you've been using.
Shit. Look at
it. I did. That's why it's all torn up on the front.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I still like there was a video that Lucha posted on Facebook with Pentagon. I don't know if y'all got caught that or not.
No.
But through the translation subtitles on the bottom there, he was saying, I like it here in Lucha because all you people spread my name. Where in Mexico, no one did that. You know, I didn't get that over Mexico. But here, y'all fear me. You know, I have no fear over here. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. And like his character.
Yeah.
Was it Zero Fear or whatever it's
called? Settle Miedo.
Yeah.
See. So. Oh, man. I cannot wait. I cannot wait till Sexy and Pentagon have a one-on-one match straight up. Let's do this. Damn.
No.
I am waiting.
That's a SummerSlam match right there. Sexy Star versus Pentagon. The WrestleMania match is Pentagon against either Drago or Puma for the belt.
Oh.
If by then,
yes.
This dude's already going to be built to be the hated guy on the roster.
Yeah.
Against whoever's been built up as the underdog, overachiever. Both of those guys? Fuck.
Yeah.
If they build that up to their first, like, Lucha Underground pay-per-view, dude, it's over, man.
Yeah.
And by the way, just so you know, Abel, tomorrow, or today, or whoever, when you're listening to this
on
week,
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Wednesday the 22nd.
Lucha Underground. It will be Sexy Star versus Pentagon Jr.
Oh, Santa Maria.
Ay, chingao.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. We just saw the screen cap that Lucha Underground put on their Facebook. Ooh, wow. Oh, yeah, that looks good. All right. Daivari? Question mark? He was ringside. They kept panning over to him. He stood up.
Huh? He needs to learn how to act. He looked like that wasn't himself.
No?
The way he clapped and the way he was talking. And he can't even smoke right. Come on. But regardless, they haven't really fumbled any outsiders that they've brought in.
Right.
I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, if they can make Daivari interesting, fuck any other
promotion. They didn't call him by name, did they?
No. Okay, good.
Because I'm hoping it's not Daivari. Because so far they've been doing a good job of totally like repackaging people.
Yeah.
So you know, it was funny. I saw Daivari, Daivari, and I was like, you know, why couldn't they have gotten like Sanjay Dutt or something instead of Daivari? Sanjay Dutt and Lucha.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would have been damn good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they didn't. So
no.
Dude, if he was still wrestling, Muhammad Hassan.
Mohammed Hassan.
And Lucha.
Yeah.
If even the Mexicans hate the terrorists, oh man, that's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. Good episode out of Lucha Underground again. I mean, we're starting slowly but surely, you know, finding little things to nitpick about. But for the most part, this is show numero uno when it comes to the wrestling world right now.
Especially if you compare it to what we're going to talk about after the break.
Yeah, after the break, we are going to talk about Raw and preview Extreme Rules pay-per-view that's going to be coming up this weekend. So, let's go ahead and take a break, collect our thoughts, and take a piss and whatever.
Okay.
Not together. Well, we could if you want to.
We can go outside.
We could like hold hands and stuff. Or yeah. Hey everybody, great news! We cut out the middleman and we printed out our own t-shirts, and we have a bunch that's available for sale. We have three of our great designs: our Houston Wrestling Radio black and white parental advisory shirt, the Monsoon Banana Company shirt in yellow, and the Bullet Bill Club design, also available in double XL size. Already on hand to be delivered straight to you. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or send us an email at HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com and get them while they're available.
Hey everybody, this is Chris. Do you ever feel nostalgic? You want to jump into that DeLorean and go back in time? Listen to our podcast, Pop Culture Rewind. My friend Travis and I, we talk everything pop culture, movies, television, TV shows, games, video games. You think it, we talk about it. Pop Culture Rewind at facebook.com/popculturerewind. Find us on Twitter at popculturerwnd. And as Travis always says, don't forget to pop your culture.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. If you'd like to continue to support Houston Wrestling Radio, you could do so in a number of ways. First, if you downloaded us off of iTunes, hit the subscribe button. That way you get every new episode as soon as we upload them. Also, you could write a review as well as give us a rating. If you're listening to us on the Stitcher Radio app, hit the thumbs up button at the bottom of the app. If you want to just interact with us, you can do so on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter, at H Wrestling Radio. You can also send us an email, HoustonWrestlingRadio@gmail.com. And if you're able to support us monetarily, you could buy one of our awesome t-shirts designs at tpublic.com/user/HWRpodcast. Or if you'd like something different, like a phone case or a tote bag or a hoodie, you can do that at redbubble.com/people/HWR podcast. Again, thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the rest of the show.
This is Al Snow, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Yes, that's Houston Wrestling Radio. So excited that parts of me are pulling up inside me right now. Thank you.
All right, guys, we're back. Thank you so much for sticking through with us through the commercial break. It is now time to talk about Double Double E.
Ugh, do we have to? Does anybody really want to hear us talk about WWE? No? All right. Well, there you go.
That's our show, guys. Thanks. Bye. Yeah.
That was wonderful. Bravo.
It was pretty
Okay. WWE has pay-per-view coming up, Extreme Rules. That's coming up this Sunday. So,
you know what? Before we get into that, I just want to say Extreme Rules, please change the name of that same title.
Why?
I hate the title Extreme Rules.
Why?
In PG era WWE. I hate it. It makes no fucking sense. What's going to be extreme about it?
Uh-huh.
What are they possibly going to do that's going to be extreme? Kiss me arse?
Yeah.
Is that extreme?
That's not PG.
No, yeah, it is. Because it's arse and not ass.
Maybe. Yeah.
The closest thing we've got to it, and we'll start off talking about this match right now.
All
right. The Russian chain match.
That's the only thing that, stipulation-wise, that's the only thing that's got me interested in this entire pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Just the stipulation alone.
Yeah.
Every other match is...
And Chris, I'm sure you missed it on Raw, but there was a backstage segment when...
I saw the video.
Messina got attacked, and he like wrapped the chain around his face. It's like, all right, okay.
I'm down.
If they get that momentum keeping up on a match, and kind of go from there...
Yeah, 50 Shades of Rusev. I was digging it.
Is Lana involved?
Oh, she has her hair down now. Oh, biznatcha.
Bitch. Nobody gets the joke.
Yeah.
Well, let's start from the bottom up.
All right.
Kickoff. Cesaro and Tyson Kidd against
the
New Day.
Are we done? Are we done talking about that?
We'll come back around.
What? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Going out of order doesn't make sense. Travis. So Cesaro and Tyson Kidd against the New Day. What do you guys think?
We should have just kept recording with the microphone on the table.
No, Jefe. He wants to keep prestige for the 5 listeners that are listening. They don't want it to be ruined. And he's still trying to find a pause so he can edit it out. Just start talking. Oof. Go. Oofta.
All right. Oofta yourself. What match are we talking about?
Kidd and Cesaro against the New Day. No stipulation. About Rusev Cena. No stipulation. Just a straight up kickoff tag match.
This is a kickoff. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah, I don't care.
Anticipation level.
4.
Well, this is for the title, right?
Yeah.
Okay, 1.
1.
Well, okay, yeah, I don't care.
They've already fucked over New Day so much, and then the whole Cesaro and what's his name, Kid? I don't know. What have they done with him lately?
Yeah, I tell you, I'd have a nice shiny erection if it was Kid and Cesaro versus Lucha Dragons, and it was actually on the show, but it's not. It's against New Day, and it's not on the show. It's on the pre-show, and there's no stipulation, even though it's on Extreme Rules. Like,
The only thing I liked from them in the last week.
From who?
Cesaro and Kid.
Yes.
Was the Thug Life video I saw from SmackDown. Where Cesaro catches Natty and Kid gets put in the yes lock. And Cesaro goes, no, bitch! Throws Natty on the floor just to get attitude adjusted by Cena. And that's how they lose on SmackDown.
Yeah, yeah. That was
They're coming funny. Together as a threesome team.
Yeah.
I like that. For that,
threesome to the team.
Whatever. As long as it's on video.
We've been talking about threesomes too much on this episode.
Kid and Cesaro. I've got
that's
them
Lucha's
winning.
Fun.
I've got Kid and Cesaro winning.
I got Kid and Cesaro.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. If New Day wins... Look, here's the thing about New Day. Like, they forced it to be a thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
They forced it to be faces. Now they're forcing it... They have to force it to be heels. It's like, this ain't working.
No.
Break the shit up.
The three of them together is what they wanted. They forced them to be in a gospel church.
Mm-hmm.
Number one. Yeah. Number two, they forced them to be faces instead of letting them do the shtick that they were doing on the internet and Facebook and Twitter by trashing all the people they didn't like. Not wrestlers, just like people with bad attitudes. And now it didn't work, and now people are hating it, and now they're assuming that that's what it's supposed to be in the first place.
Well, even then, it's still... The reason I'm saying it's forcing to be heels is because on Raw, They actually got on the stick again, and they're talking about how if we clap, so you don't whatever.
I don't remember what the Cordial thing was. But
yeah, they said the same thing.
Oh, if you don't clap, we snap, or something like that, or some bullshit.
If we don't clap, we snap.
Yeah, or something. And then they keep going on about how they're not happy or some bullshit, or how dare you.
Like, we're just trying to be positive.
Yeah, and like, they have to explain. If you're a heel, you don't have to explain what you're doing. You know, just fucking do it. Yeah. So, the whole fucking thing, after this, just disband them or do something. Change your gimmick. Do something else. Fuck it. What's next?
Nikki Bella against Naomi.
What's next?
Taking place of Paige. Because Paige is filming a movie.
I am a little bit interested in this because I want to see if they're actually going to give Naomi the ball and let her run with it. Because her promo that she had last week after the heel turn was great.
You still think it was a heel turn?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean,
heel versus heel for the title, though.
I think it's a heel. I think it's a heel turn. Just the fact that if it wasn't just her just punching or slapping Paige once or twice, she beat the shit out of her. And she ripped off her Uso shirt. You don't rip off an Uso shirt unless you're a heel.
Did she fight a heel on Raw last night? Or did she fight a face? Or did she have anything?
She fought Nikki. Bella. Bree. Yeah, she fought Bree. So
who was the face in that?
I don't know. But see, the thing that she said before that was, how many Bellas do I got to beat? Or how many times do I got to beat a Bella to, you know, get the like, all this stuff she's saying is making sense. Like, I guess, I don't know. Maybe some sort of tweener. I don't know. I don't want to get too caught up.
There's a couple of things, instances during the match, and she was like, you know, panning off the crowd noise and things like that. She was doing heel mannerisms in the match.
Honestly, I don't want to get too caught up in whether or not she's a heel or a face and black and white cookie cutter,
I'm
this
just
or that.
Pointing out observations.
I like what she's doing, period. And I'm interested
in
the
story.
I like the story, right. And I want to see what they're going to do with her and if they're going to let her actually grab the title and run with it. That's what I want to see.
Where are you at?
I'm at 8.
6.
Okay.
All right.
Do you think they're going to go with Naomi?
I hope they're smart enough to do it, and I think they're smart enough to do it. Naomi. That's my pick.
Trap?
I want Naomi to win, but I don't have faith in WWE, so I think Nikki's going to win.
That's fair.
I think Nikki's had enough time with the belt. She even left WrestleMania with the belt, even though she lost the tag match. I think it's due.
Okay. No, don't get me wrong. I want Naomi to win. That's who I'm rooting for, but I think WWE is stupid enough just to leave it on Nikki.
Mm-hmm.
She's still with Cena, right? So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sidebar: thumbs up or thumbs down? A Total Divas spinoff show with just Nikki, Brie, John, and Daniel.
Thumbs down. You need more than just that.
And well, and Nikki and Brie's family and friends on their side. More.
Oh, fuck the family and friends. No. Yeah. I don't care.
What do you really got to ask?
Okay, thumbs down all around.
Is that a rumor or is that a fact?
There was an interview that they state that they were shooting the idea. They were trying to pass the idea of having a Total Diva spinoff just with the Bellas and more of Cena and Bryan. And then
just the love story.
All I know is I saw this tweet that Nikki did about how she wants to have a legacy for centuries to come, and this, and I don't know, she doesn't know how long a century is, but like she wants to leave this
legacy. A century is 4.5 seasons.
Yeah.
what she meant by centuries, she meant syndication.
Oh! That makes more sense.
Because it's going to be a Netflix 40 years from now, drowned under the sea of Full House and Transformers Armada.
Yeah.
That's where she wants to be. Speaking of that, your favorite match. Kiss your arse, Ginger. Sheamus Ziggler. Anticipation level.
2. No, the stipulation is probably 1. The match, I'm looking forward to being a hard-hitting match. I'm still hoping that when the big match comes, I think Sheamus is
ready.
Yeah, I think he's going to be more of a this is going to be a brawl. I don't think it's going to be like headlocks and arm drags, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope not, anyways.
I'm glad you kind of amended yourself there by saying that, maybe just for the stipulation, that low. Not the stipulation. Where are you at?
Oh, maybe 6.
Okay. That's where I'm going to kind of be. Yeah. For me, the stipulation brings it down a little bit more. I'm really digging the new Sheamus. I've been saying for a long time he needs to be a heel. Everybody's been saying for a long time he needs to get new music. I'm digging the new look. I I'm digging it all around. So, and Ziggler, so fuck yeah, I'm down. I'd be at like an 8 or a 9 for this if it wasn't for the fact that it's Kiss Me Arse. That brings it down a few notches. Because while we want
to
say...
You don't have to defend it. We know why.
Yeah. While we want to say, you know what, yeah, let's bring back some stuff from the Attitude Era. Yeah, let's make things not PG. You bring back the thing that from the non-PG era that, like, sucks. So, really, we're going to see one strangely effeminate dude, Dolph Ziggler, having the potential of either kissing some other dude's ass or having his ass kissed by another guy? I don't know if I really want to see that. Like, I don't care. I mean, it's kind of funny when it was Vince McMahon, but even then, it's like, whoa, they're going too far with this. It was, you know... Okay, you're doing it with Rikishi, you're doing it with Big Show. I don't want to see this stipulation anymore.
Ziggler is not comedic enough that he's going to bring a donkey to the ring, and when Sheamus loses, he's going to kiss the donkey. You're either going to have Sheamus, who just started this new heel turn, persona, fade, facade, and everything. You just started this, and you have the potential of killing it before it even leaves the ground by having him lose this match. Or you will... to quote a lot of the internet wrestling community, bury Ziggler 6 feet deeper by having him kiss Sheamus. This feels like Bray Wyatt Undertaker lose-lose.
Yes, good point.
The wrestling match itself, for the quality, they've never let us down before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The match itself, I'm looking at a 7. Mm-hmm. Stipulations and repercussions and aftermath, I'm in negative territory.
Yeah.
With that said... There's no other logic than Sheamus has to win this.
The only thing is, Sheamus as the character, I can see him losing and just like snapping and just...
I ain't going to kiss your arse, fella!
And he beats the shit out of him.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah.
No, seriously, that's the only way they can save that.
That would be the best scenario.
Yeah. Because I can't picture like Sheamus winning and Ziggler just kissing his ass. I can't...
Yeah.
It's not funny. That's not... I don't know.
Sheamus beats him unconscious and just drags Ziggler to his ass and, like, just, like, does it. Like, we keep thinking that it's going to be voluntary. None of these kiss my asses other than William Regal have been voluntary.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Jerry Lawler having to kiss his own foot because of Bret Hart. You know?
Bret Hart had to stick his own foot in his mouth.
Yeah. So it's not like we're expecting a voluntary thing of Ziggler just putting on some chapstick or some blush and going, oh, my God, let me get this taken care of. No. This isn't the way it's going to flow. So I like Travis's idea of just beating him further to where he beats the ass off of him.
Yeah.
Literally, you know? But
I just thought of something. Ziggle Wiggle in the corner. That's what's going to happen.
Ziggle Wiggle.
He's going to be knocked out or whatever somehow. He's going to drag him to the corner. Ziggle Wiggle into the
corner. I bet they're doing all of this just to piss off the Samoans more. You're like, oh, you thought Rikishi was so good. Oh, you're pissed off because we didn't let Roman win. You know what? Fuck you. We're going to let Ziggler steal the stink face. Stink face isn't that great of a move. We'll let Ziggler do it. Fuck you. That's what Vince is doing. That's what Vince is thinking.
Show off. Did y'all guys give your predictions?
I like what Travis says. I'm going to go with that, where Ziggler wins and Sheamus refuses and tries to be a bully and beats his ass even more, and we never get an arse kiss.
You just said what I just did. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thunder stolen.
What was yours?
I got Sheamus.
Sheamus
logically.
Winning?
Yeah, Sheamus
winning.
Yeah.
Sheamus needs to win.
Yeah.
I agree.
Sheamus doesn't need to win. Sheamus needs to not kiss somebody's ass.
Okay, yeah.
Sheamus needs to kill somebody. That's what he needs.
Bella.
He doesn't need a 1-2-3. He needs to look strong and need to whoop some ass. Not kiss ass, whoop ass.
Chicago street fight, Ambrose against Harper.
Well, speaking of whooping ass, no, that's
You're
not...
You're gonna be afraid of me.
Yeah. I like the idea of a Chicago street fight.
It is in Chicago, right?
It is in Chicago, okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, Chicago street fight in California.
I like the idea that we're going to have a match between Harper and Ambrose, and they're both crazy, and they're both just going to, you know, be wild and just go all out. I like all those ideas. The thing is...
The match is going to finish at CM Punk's apartment.
Oh, God. No. In Colt Cabana's studio... apartment.
Don't encourage it.
Yeah, sorry. But I feel like all of it with this whole match, I feel like it's a cake in the oven that hasn't had enough time in the oven to bake. You know,
I'd eat that shit anyway, and you probably would too. Maybe. It wouldn't come out the same way.
I'm kind of on the opposite side of this. I'm like, I've seen this before. Like, all they do is brawl. Like, what are they going to do?
How many SmackDowns has this match happened on?
Yeah, like, what are they going to do that I haven't... What are they going to do we haven't seen? I don't know. That's why I'm not really too excited about it. Maybe 4 or 5.
I'm at a 4 or 2.
I'll go 4.
There hasn't been... I don't understand the storyline between them, other than they're crazy and they're fighting each other.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And that's why I'm saying it doesn't feel like it's fully developed. Like, there's something there, but they've never explicitly...
Like, for purpose.
Like, are they still fighting over the intercontinental fuck or whatever you called it? I don't know.
Intercluster fuck on
Ember? Yeah, that one. Are they still fighting over that?
Like, when was the last pay-per-view match that Ambrose has won?
Oh, fuck, I don't even know.
That's been a while.
You know?
Did he beat Bray one of the times?
I don't know.
Whatever. Of course, everybody's beating Bray.
Fuck it. I got Harper winning this.
Really? Okay. You know what? I think they're going to give it to Dean, but I wouldn't be surprised either way.
I'll go Dean. I don't know. I don't really care, honestly.
That seems to be an occurring theme of the night. Intercontinental title match. Daniel Bryan against Bad News Barrett.
Asterisk. His card's something to change.
Yes. All right, so...
I'm going to just go off the rail here. I am fucking pissed. Why did they even bother bringing Daniel Bryan back? Why didn't Daniel Bryan get the stubbornness out of his beard and just have the fucking surgery?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of putting off more time.
Who are you mad at?
Every party involved. From the opening promo that Bryan teased that he was retiring and he didn't, he sold that so well that... I already had it in my head that if Bryan didn't win the Rumble, regardless of what happened the year before, that it was going to be a huge missed opportunity. And then he loses to Reigns, who's everybody was crapping all over him, and it further continued after the pay-per-view. Putting him in a ladder match at WrestleMania when he already is injury prone. You're afraid of putting the belt on him because you're afraid he's going to get hurt, yet you're going to stick him in this fucking ladder match.
In a human demolition derby.
And yeah. I don't get it. Like, I am expecting to not see Bryan wrestle anymore this year.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't shock me that he got hurt again and that most likely... 9 times out of 10, he is not going to be in this match. So I don't know what... I don't even know what grade we're giving this because we don't even know what they're going to replace this
with. Okay, all right. Assume everything's fine. Were you looking forward to this match?
Yeah.
Okay, what were you giving? 1 out of 10.
About an 8.
I bet an 8. Who do you have winning?
I had Bryan winning. I thought they were actually going to legitimately give him a good run as the Intercontinental Champion until about maybe Survivor Series and then start building him back up towards the main event for WrestleMania in Dallas. Maybe even have like a pay-per-view match on Fastlane or Elimination Chamber or the pay-per-view before WrestleMania pay-per-view with him and John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they've been trying to build up the credibility of both the mid-card titles. That would have been a good crescendo to lead into WrestleMania. And now it's like, what the fuck is Daniel Bryan even doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I can't get too upset at the booking because the booking reflects the situation with the talent. And if Bryan... If Bryan knew that he wasn't going to be what he was doing the half-ass rehab treatment, yoga, whatever he did.
I thought he got surgery.
He had like two surgeries.
He had minor surgeries. Cause he was
I thought they were both major.
But they weren't what he really needed. The surgery he needed, he was going to miss WrestleMania. He was going to be out about 10 months, maybe a year.
Mm-hmm.
He had minor surgeries and rehab. And they brought him back too
but
quick.
But is this new injury that he suffered overseas, is that because of the previous injury or is this something new?
It's because of the previous injuries.
Oh, okay.
So, it's just
now
sad.
I might just be a small town pizza lawyer.
But everybody sucks.
Look, I honestly don't know what's going on with Daniel Bryan's body. I'm not doctor. I don't know what's happening, and I don't know what surgery he did need to have or didn't need to have or whatever. But if it was, if it really was a case of they weren't being as careful with him as they could have been, then yeah, whoever was the one that resisted, if it was Brian himself, oh, coach, put me in, then damn it, Brian, you fucked yourself.
He did.
Don't fuck yourself anymore. If it was... If it was, you know, somebody in WWE, if it was Vince pushing, no, we need to put that kid out there. People are, you know, need him. He needs to be on Mania. Well, then Vince, you fucked up. You know, if it was, you know, some trainer or something said, ah, give him a Z-Pack, he'd be all right. And they just sent his ass out there when he didn't need to be, then it's their fault. Whoever created this situation, have D-Bry out there before he was ready, it fucking sucks. But the reality of it is what it is. And this is where we're at. Is he going to wrestle? As far as we know that we've heard from WWE, not dirt sheets or news sites with a Z, from WWE, they made it ambiguous to where he might be wrestling Brian or Barrett at the pay-per-view. We might get, you know, Brian versus Barrett. Now, what we saw from news sites with a Z and all over the internet today was that it's confirmed he's going to be out for at least a month. So... if that's the case, all right, well, I'll wait till I hear officially from WWE. But right now, assuming that the match is still going to happen, my suspicion level is not nearly as high as you guys'. Because I feel like there's been absolutely no build.
I don't think I said my suspicion.
I thought you said yours were also an 8. No? Okay, well, I'm different from you, Chris.
Okay.
I would say that I'd be at like a 5. Because all it is to me is just... A rematch from Intercollective Fuckomania.
Yeah.
It's just Brian versus Barrett, and I'm pretty sure Brian will win. Barrett will get, you know, another loss, and that's it. Whatever. Okay, bye, fine.
And wasn't Barrett announced that he was going to retire also?
What?
That was a awesomely done promo that he did on one of the overseas shows where he was going to retire after his contract expired. And that he was passing the United Kingdom torch to Neville, who would be a great potential future heavyweight champion, just to get the fans' sympathy, and then turning on Neville by hitting him with a bullhammer. That was fucking brilliant.
So that was just...
Why can't we get that on fucking television? That's not the Barrett we're getting on television.
Yeah. We're not getting any Barrett on television.
We're not getting any Barrett on television.
The only Barrett we get on television is when he's ready to lose a match.
Well, let me put it more specifically. We're not getting any Barrett or Bryan on Raw, the main show.
Right.
That every wrestling fan that is still into wrestling watches. Well, I'm not trying to find SmackDown. I'm not trying to find Main Event. I'm not trying to find out spoiler results on the internet. I wanted to see them wrestle on Raw. And if you're not going to have them on Raw, then what the fuck is the point?
You know what would be really hilarious? Is if, you know how last year, you know, after WrestleMania, oh, he's injured, so we need to take the title off of him, vacate the title, then give it to Brock. You know what would be hilarious is if, oh, well, he's going to be out for a long time, but he's still the Intercontinental Champion, so we just won't have an Intercontinental Champion on TV. It's still Brian, and here it is, 10 months later, Brian finally shows up, still the Intercontinental Champion, been the Intercontinental Champion for this entire time, and then shows up, okay, I'm ready to defend my title against Barrett again.
WWE would love to do that, because that's easy.
Yeah, and you're a bit hypocritical.
Yeah.
All right. Travis, what would be your anticipation level and pick if this match actually goes down?
You said a 5?
Yeah.
I'm probably a little bit lower than that.
Okay.
Ooh.
Probably like a 4, really. Just because, honestly, I think maybe it has something to do with the fact that it hasn't been on Raw.
Yeah.
And I've missed like the last like couple episodes. If I'm watching SmackDown, I'm watching it in maybe 30 minutes because I'm fast-forwarding through
a lot
of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, probably like a 4 would be my anticipation level just because of who's in it.
Mm-hmm.
I would have Brian going over on that one. I don't see Barrett winning anything ever.
Okay, hypothetical. Say Brian's not in this match. Barrett's given the belt, but he has to defend. Who is he defending it against?
I think what they'll do is more vacate the title, and it'll be Barrett versus. And okay, who's the other versus?
Like in the winner of that match gets the title.
No, Barrett versus who for the Intercontinental title?
Right, that's what he said.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Damn, I don't know. Dean and...
Stardust.
Yeah.
He's the only one left from the clusterfuck thingamajiggy.
Is he?
Not the only one, but that's the first one that came up that's not involved in other matches on the pay-per-view.
Yeah, Stardust.
Right? Am I missing someone?
We might be missing somebody, but if we're missing somebody, that means that they were
significant
enough. R-Truth?
R-Truth.
He can steal the belt! That's what he can do! That little fucking hot potato bullshit they were doing before WrestleMania, continue that legitimately.
Yeah.
Like, everybody will steal the belt from each other, and that's how you have the title keep going on. Yeah! Sunday, I'm calling it right now. That's my prediction. They'll start the match, the bell will ring, and then R-Truth will sneak in there, grab the belt, run off, and then like, what happened? And Bullhammer, he's down, 1, 2, 3. And then they chase R-Truth for, you know.
That would be terrible.
Nothing screams.
Do you not see that happening on WWE?
It could happen. I don't put it past.
Nothing screams Intercontinental in the city of Chicago getting 19,000 people to forget about CM Punk by having Hideo Itami put Wade Barrett to fucking sleep and leave as the Intercontinental Champion. Lord knows that shit's never going to happen.
If anything, that would make people remember CM Punk. I don't know if you want to do that in that town.
Yeah, Chicago is crazy enough of a town that they'd see that as an insult and they get even more mad.
You think so?
Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think they get pissed off about that.
But wouldn't WWE like that?
Maybe.
That they're sticking it to them.
Yeah. Sticking it to Punk.
This is a Chicago crowd that was chanting for CM Punk even when Big Show was hurt during his match, storyline-wise, when they were chanting through that. That's the X factor. That's the other reason why I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view, is to hear the reaction of how much they're going to crap on everything on this show.
Yeah, because they will.
Because I think, honestly, besides Cena, I think legitimately, whether they cheer Rusev or just flat out boo Cena, I think they're going to appreciate their match. And that's it. Maybe Seth Rollins.
Is that the next match on the list?
Ironically enough, we'll get to it. Yeah, sure. Cena versus Rusev.
Oh, yay. Cena versus Rusev. There you go, Travis.
Oh, Cena versus Rusev?
Yeah, now you can talk about it.
Yeah, fuck it. I don't want to talk about it.
My anticipation level is at a 9.
9.
I'm expecting Rusev to take this belt back. I want them to build a rivalry. And they have it here. They have the potential here with Cena and Rusev. And Rusev's been slimming a lot. I can tell he is not as wide around the chestuses and the stomach as he was when he debuted at Royal Rumble last year. This is the best I've seen Rusev, and Lana with her hair down is like 10 times better. And
impossible,
Cena,
right?
And Cena has been at least tolerable to moderately entertaining so far in this feud.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of the sudden U.S. turn, I'm actually liking Cena in this.
Okay, that's
so fair. That's who you're picking to win?
No, I got Rusev winning.
He said Rusev. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree with the prediction. I think that Rusev is going to take the title back. More or less because when it comes to stipulation matches, Cena usually loses. Look how Sheamus won his first title. You know?
Look how he became part of the Nexus.
Yeah. So it's and plus it's not a main pay-per-view where you're going to be hurting Cena's, you know.
You won't be hurting the prestige of the U.S. title by going back and forth if it's a legitimate feud that's actually making sense.
Exactly.
And getting you
I'm probably like I'm at 8 on this one. It's definitely out of the card when it comes to Extreme Rules. This is the one that actually can fit the bill for that.
It's the extremist.
Yeah. And Cena looks kind of badass when his face is bloody. Old John Cena, Unforgiven against Edge in TLC, and he looked bloody as shit. His match with JBL, he looked bloody. When he looks bloody, he's even more intimidating. And especially now that he's trying to push the, hey, I've been here 12 years, I'm a 14-time champion, respect me, bitch, with a bloody face. That's going to sell that shit even more.
Yeah.
Too bad you have to watch in black and white.
All that being said.
Because it's PG!
All that being said, I want to touch a little bit on the actual stipulation itself. I think last week we were speculating as to what it was. Oh, it's just going to be, you know, where they're tied to each other and they can just use a rope. No, it actually is old school where you have to go and touch all the turnbuckles.
Really?
And I am so fucking glad that Cena explained that shit. The 30 seconds, not even, that it took to explain it, they did it. Thank you for actually, you know, taking the time to, you know, explain out your shit. That's awesome. So yeah, old school, incapacitate your guy to enough to where he could drag his limp body across the ring and touch all four corners. Yes, I am down 100%. You don't see that very often, whether it's a Caribbean strap or bull rope or, in this case, Russian chain. I think it's cool. You know, the chain itself looks like it's going to be pretty sturdy. Something.
Well, it's made in Russia.
Yeah, made in Russia? Yeah, it's going to... It's going
to joke, people. I don't know if it's actually made in Russia. Maybe. Russian chain joke. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Travis. Yes. The comedic stylings of Travis Belden, everybody. Tip your waitress.
Who you got winning?
I've got Cena winning, LOL. As much as you waned poetic about how awesome it would be if, you know, you actually have a feud and the United States title having an actual prestigious feud and then this and that. No, LOL, Cena wins.
Razzle frazzle.
I don't like it as much as the next guy, but
devil's advocate. Say Cena wins. How much longer is this U.S. Open Invitational shit gonna last?
Oh God, it's already too long.
That's why Rusev has to win.
He has to. I agree with you. I think you make all the valid points as to why.
It's the Church of John Cena. You have to believe.
Yes, exactly. It's Cena we trust.
Speaking of LOL, I skipped it over on purpose. Last Man Standing, Big Show, Roman. Let's get this over with in 30 seconds or less. You already gave your prediction, Travis.
I'll second that. Ugh.
Last Man Standing. Fuck the Last Man Standing in the ass. Break his back and make it humble. God damn it, I hate Last Man Standing.
So basically what you're saying is you don't like the match.
No, I heard it.
Main event.
Steel cage
match. The RKO is banned. Randy Orton, Seth Rollins. Kane is the gatekeeper.
The guardian of the gate.
Yes.
I am the keymaster. Are you the gatekeeper?
That was a Ghostbusters joke for people who understand. Thank you, Abel.
Mr. Explain Everybody's Jokes over here.
I've seen it. Hey, chess, anticipation level.
Maybe a 7 or 6. 7? Thinking.
For an Orton match, nice.
Rollins and Orton.
There you go.
Ew. In a steel cage.
7.
Did you see? You didn't watch. Did you watch the Inner Raw? You didn't watch Raw, did you?
Oh, where the cage. This is Rollins is celebrating in the cage, and Orton somehow is in there.
Yeah. No, the RKO when he's starting to climb up the cage, and you rip him out, and as he's falling, he RKO'd him.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah.
So that's the awesome move that you're not going to get to see at the pay-per-view because the move is banned.
They're teasing at the house show that Rollins actually is going to beat Orton with the RKO.
Nice.
It's banned, but he never said it's banned for me. It's banned for Orton.
Orton, yeah.
So they're teasing it. And without that, my anticipation's at a 7. Because for the most part, it's been built up pretty good. Even
it makes
Orton.
Sense. This feud, this match makes sense.
That's when Orton does a curb stomp.
Oh no, sorry. Nobody does the curb stomp anymore.
Oh, what was that came out this week? He's working on a new finisher, Rollins.
They showed it on Raw. It was a modified DDT facebuster.
Yeah, he pretty much. Okay, yeah. Well, it was a DDT. That's it.
Was that what he was gonna? Is that?
I guess that's his new finisher because they've banned the.
Is that official though? It was like.
It was WWE never said it. News sites with the Z said it, and they were like, well, let's watch Raw and see what happens. And sure enough, on Raw, he doesn't end the match with the curb stomp the way he normally did. He ended the match with that DDT-looking thing.
Because he did the buckle bomb like he normally sets up for the curb stomp.
For the curb stomp. He did a buckle bomb, DDT, and then 1, 2, 3. Which, I don't know. I mean, the DDT, it just seems so lame.
Cliche now. It's like everybody does a DDT. It's like the spear.
Not even like a spear, because everybody does the spear as a finishing move. People nowadays use a DDT as not even a signature move, just a regular move in the match.
That's true, too. Yeah.
It's the way it stands out. Dean Ambrose's original Dirty Deeds, which was like a modified like front face lock into a DDT face buster, looked original. The Rollins one doesn't. His buckle bomb looks more threatening as a move.
His buckle bomb looks
itself.
Like a finisher.
Yeah. I don't know.
Too bad he can't use God's Last Gift like how he did in ROH. That would be fucking sick, but yeah.
Explain what that move is.
It's
like Kalisto's finisher, basically, but a little bit different.
Oh, no. It's a jumping small package, basically. He lifts somebody up, jumps into it, and then slams them down in a small package position, and he just holds onto it and pins the 1-2-3. Yeah, I mean, the reason why he doesn't do it in WWE, I would assume, is that he's kind of small compared to all the other guys. Like, he'll never be able to do that to Ryback. Yeah, he'll never be able to do that to Big Show or Kane or Ryback or Roman. He'll only be able to do it with guys that's smaller than him.
Who you got winning, Abel?
Rollins.
Rollins. I had to think about that one for a second. Yeah.
You really think maybe Orton has a chance?
No.
Yeah. Everybody's Rollins. Picking Rollins?
It'd be weird to take it off of him right now.
Think so?
I think so. He's still getting his groove. Unless the whole idea of him being the champ at WrestleMania was just to hold it in place for Orton. But I don't think Orton is... I think he's a place-setting feud right now until something bigger comes along.
How do you like this idea? Have, like, some sort of funky finish. Like, maybe they both exit the cage at the same time, or something stupid happens where somebody actually does get in the cage, or maybe Kane just turns on everybody and there's a no contest, or something stupid like that. And then, for the next time, maybe not even this upcoming pay-per-view, but maybe SummerSlam or something, we wind up getting Rollins, Orton, Lesnar.
Like, triple threat?
Yeah.
There is a rumor that there's a triple threat for the next pay-per-view.
Oh.
I don't know who's involved in it. I didn't read this.
I don't see Rollins losing the belt without shenanigans from either Lesnar or Heyman. And I would think the pay-per-view before SummerSlam, we get a one-on-one match between Lesnar and Rollins, and that sets up Lesnar-Orton for SummerSlam.
Okay. Either way, you're still thinking that Rollins will leave Extreme Rules with the title?
Yeah. Okay. And I'm thinking Lesnar's going to be in the title picture at SummerSlam.
Okay.
So. Yeah, I think this indefinite suspension thing, it's got to clear up a few weeks before SummerSlam.
What's the next pay-per-view after this one?
Extreme Rules is April.
So May. What's the May pay-per-view? May is that Payback?
May is Payback. And then June is Money in the Bank. And then July is Battleground? Or is June...
July is Money in the Bank.
Then June is Battleground.
June's Battleground. And then... August is SummerSlam. So we got
September's Night of Champions. October's Hell in a Cell. November's, by the way, Night of Champions here in Houston in September.
Oh, really?
October's Hell in a Cell. November's Survivor Series. And December is TLC.
Okay. All right. So basically we got four pay-per-views between now and SummerSlam. Do you think that they could drag this out without actually having Lesnar on TV for three of those months?
They have done it the years before.
Okay.
At least with Lesnar. But not with Lesnar being like in the main event picture. So it'll be interesting.
All right. So that's pretty much the pay-per-view, right? That wraps it up.
Overall, scale of 1 to 10, anticipation level.
Mine is not that high. I'd probably go maybe a 6.
I think maybe 5.
The negatives are outweighing the positives. Where's Brock Lesnar? Where's Sting? Where's Undertaker?
Where's Bryan?
We don't even know if we're gonna get Bryan.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even taking that consideration because it's not. If I look into that shit too, I'm in the negatives. I'm going off of what the card is. What I'm looking at the card, a 5 for me.
Okay.
I can't. Yeah. If I was to look at all that shit, like where's Sting at? Where's Lesnar? Oh fuck. Well, this is 0.
Well, what's something else that could have been on the pay per view that I think. Yeah, it made for some interesting stuff on Raw.
Miz versus Mizdow?
Yeah.
God damn, I heard about this.
Miz versus Mizdow.
Winner gets to keep the Miz...
Gimmick, yeah. Gimmick. Which, I don't think I've ever seen something like that, where they're fighting over the gimmick. Like, I think that was a funny idea.
Man, I know there was one like that before, but I just can't... I'm drawing a blank on it, but...
It's been long enough.
Yes, yeah. It's not a very common thing.
Yeah, so I liked it. I thought it was
New
funny.
Age against Triple H and X-Pac for the DX name?
That's it. That's one of
them. Ah, there you go. But, pat yourself on the back there, you little jerk. I enjoyed...
Call him a jerk. He was right on that.
Okay, yeah. You're right. Whatever. I enjoyed the setup to this match. Snob
was the correct word.
I enjoyed the build to this feud. I enjoyed it all, and I was really interested to see... Who's actually going to get to keep the Miz gimmick? And I honestly didn't know what they were going to do. Like, who are they going to put it on? I mean, because I was trying to factor in the Marine Four stuff. Like, oh, so they must let Miz have the Miz name so that he could, promote the movie. But then I thought, well, no, maybe they want to promote the movie, so they're going to let him drop the Miz stuff and just be Mike Mizanin and be the guy who's in all these movies and put him in more movies and just market him as first name, last name, person, actor, Mike. You know, like, oh, maybe that's what they're going.
I just threw up a little bit when he said him in more movies.
Yeah.
What would have been funny is if Sandow won it and said, oh, hey, hold the presses. We're going to have to edit the Marine 4, and they break out a new cover with Sandow on it, and then the same sticker that's blocking fucking Summer Rae's face.
And he gets royalties for all the movies. Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah. Like, they could actually put that into the marketing of the movie and, like, have a whole feud built around the marketing of this movie between these two guys trying to
limited edition Blu-ray DVD with Sandow on the cover.
Yeah, like, there was
They own the movie. They can fucking do whatever the hell they want. Yeah.
There were so many different possibilities and routes that they could have gone with either one winning the rights to the gimmick.
You didn't see Miz winning. Did either of you see Summer Rae actually siding with the Miz?
No.
No, I didn't see that.
I didn't see that coming at all. Mostly because I think it's too soon. Like, he just made out with her 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And in 2 weeks, like, somehow the Miz was already able to convince her, hey, forget that chump. Like, that was quick.
The match itself, I wouldn't have minded that they had like the rematch on Raw, because they had their first, they had the culmination of the feud on Raw, and Sandow lost. So having the rematch on Raw, I didn't mind it. But with the stipulation of keeping the gimmick, that would have been a unique match for Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
That would have been a unique addition to Extreme Rules, that even that's a stipulation.
Yeah, I mean,
and that would have been a good place to have the turn.
Yeah.
You know, so for all that put together, it's a shame that they did it on Raw.
Yeah.
The only option was to that was a tweet that Sandow did after Raw, where he said, well, I did such a good job at being The Miz. Let's see how good a job I could be at being myself.
Mm-hmm.
So they could, unannounced or maybe on SmackDown, announce Miz versus Sandow just as like the blow off to send Miz back to Hollywood or to wherever he is to promote or do whatever, and have Sandow as Sandow doing his own thing.
Well, if you're looking at typical storyline structure, the hero, the face, they gotta get their win. They gotta come out on top.
Yeah.
Right now, he's not. So you gotta have. There's gonna be another match somehow where Sandow comes out on top of this whole thing.
Here's the question then to follow you up. Has this gone on too long that you can pause this for 2 or 3 months while they do their press junket and then come back to this and finish the feud?
No. I don't know if it has that much steam. And I think it's a big missed opportunity if you use this feud as part of the fucking promotion of the movie itself. Like you said, oh, have him go off to Hollywood and do all this promotional stuff. Dude, have... how many people watch Raw? Have the match and the feud and everything that they're doing within that confines of that structure of that medium be your fucking commercial to a captive audience and actually make it interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, they're missing so much with that. Like, make the movie part of the storyline. You know, and there's your commercial right there to buy the fucking movie. Yeah. This is what they're fighting over? This movie? Well, maybe I'll go check out the movie.
Huh?
Would you?
I probably wouldn't mind checking it out
fucking
anyway.
Mark. God damn.
The Miz.
It's summer.
Well, it's summer.
Yeah.
Butterface.
Well, hell, they're going to cover up like they did on the cover with the sticker.
You like that picture?
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. I'll watch Summer Rae with a fucking Walmart sticker over her face.
Walmart price sticker. Like, yeah. How much it is for a night?
That's it? Oh, man, I paid double just on dates.
Man, $19.99, hot damn.
And it comes with the digital download.
Woo! Man, we're getting way too excited about
this. It's summer somewhere.
Anything else from WWE?
Yes.
What?
The primetime players.
Ah, holla, holla, holla.
Man, when they started messing with Seth back there, I was like, I really like where this is going. What are they doing? What's going on? Like, the primetime players have consistently been kind of flying underneath the perceived radar of everybody else. Like, they're getting away with saying stuff that normally they shouldn't be saying. We like it. We think it's funny. We've been marking out over it. But it seems as though the powers that be haven't paid attention. But now that we saw them interacting with essentially the authority, I'm like, oh shit, something's about to go down. And nothing really did go down. It was just kind of a nice little tease.
What happened? Fill me in.
All right.
It was backstage. It was J&J security with Seth.
Right.
They were facing the camera, and then Primetime Blair just came up, jumped up behind him, and he's, oh, he did the bark. He did, yeah, right behind him, and it scared Seth. He's like, oh, he jumped around.
Because Seth was all jumpy because Orton had said that he was going to RKO him that night, so he was on edge the entire night, and Titus came out and scared the piss out of him. And then they said something. I don't remember what they said, but then they wound up walking away.
Oh, it made me laugh. I remember, what did he say? It was something that Darren said right when they were walking away.
Yeah.
Fuck, man, I was bugging.
I think it was something taunting him about the fact that he was scared. Like, oh, I ain't Orton, or you don't need to worry. I'm not going to RKO you or something. Something like that.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
No, but it was funny.
It was funny. Whatever.
Show me off air.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. It was funny. So they're slowly starting to creep into more and more of
the spotlight.
Yeah. I'm digging it.
I think what really twisted it around for me was when they first did that promo on New Day. New Day at that time were still faces. They hadn't started the heel turn yet. So when I saw them cutting a heel promo on a face team, I was like, oh, I like this. I like where this is going. And then they hit on Ascension. I was like, wait a minute. What?
Yeah.
And then they did
Matadors.
Okay. But they're faces too, right?
Kind of. Well, they are. They're faces, so nobody cares about
like, but now it's like, I think they attacked New Day. I think New Day was supposed to turn before they did that. I don't know. But I'm regardless, I like it. Yeah. I like everything about Primetime Players. The shirt and everything.
All right. Jericho is going to have another one of his podcasts. This time he's going to have Stephanie on, and this is going to be after SmackDown.
That doesn't matter. I didn't watch the last one, so what difference does it make? You're going to watch this one?
Maybe. Stephanie and Jericho together, they've always had a good chemistry.
No, this is off-air, not on camera. No, not on character.
Still like to see it.
And it might be pre-taped, because if this is happening after SmackDown, SmackDown's already pre-taped. So...
But could they be in the studio?
What does it matter if it's pre-taped? Our show's pre-taped.
As flawless as it sounds, yeah, it is pre-taped.
It's pre-taped because you don't have the balls to do it live.
Oh.
No, we don't have the technology to do it live.
We have a computer and a microphone and electricity. And Wi-Fi. What else do you need?
Skill.
Program to run it. The site to do it on. Shut up, Chris.
See, now you call him a jerk.
Jerk.
That's better. Anything else?
Yes. How about this?
No.
Bray Wyatt.
Oh, Bray Wyatt.
Oh, y'all warned me about this. Oh. Break my heart, Travis. Boy. Break it.
Oh, so, boy, why
the
fuck? I don't know.
You worry me when you do shit like that, man. I don't know.
I don't know what I'm doing here. This is why we don't do live.
Chris! Jerk! No, we've been trying to, or WWE's been trying to guess who Bray's been teasing us about.
No. WWE wants us to guess who Bray's talking about in his cryptic promos.
I kind of liked what your guess was, Chris, a few weeks ago when you said it was Roman Reigns.
Roman Reigns.
About, stop doing that, what the fuck?
Are you squinting your eyes?
Ah, so.
Like, it doesn't make any sense of context.
What's your name?
Well, see, you got a haircut for that, but I don't know.
He does! $5, cut your hair.
We just lost our Asian audience. Travis, get rid of the rest of the colors. What is this? With Roman? We lost our listeners. Now Jim said Roman.
I was going to say something else, but I'm not going to say no.
No, you're talking about Bray and how
it was going to be Roman. About Roman. Because of talking about failures and this and that, and you're afraid of all this other shit. But that's clearly not the case because he's fighting Big Show in a must-see Last Man Standing match.
That we didn't even like talk about.
So
who's going to be the last man standing? It's going to be one of them because I'm going to be dead asleep.
Yeah. It's going to be me. That's damn sure. Yeah. Who is going to be last man standing? Whoever I'm playing as on Mortal Kombat. Yeah. No, but he did the promo on Raw, and then he started mentioning how lifting weights and you're all about weights. And I was thinking, okay, well, who's the muscle-bound, who lifts weights things, right? Thinking, Ryback, maybe? And then sure enough, the next match out, Ryback comes out wearing the big weight belt around his waist and everything. He's like, Ryback. And now,
rumors.
That rumor is it is going to be Ryback. So Bray Wyatt versus Ryback, possibly?
I think after WrestleMania, I've lost the flair for Bray Wyatt's promotional promos. I mean, promos, what I meant to say. The match itself, you put right back in the ring with Bray Wyatt, is going to be stiff as fuck. The match itself, I am intrigued. The build up towards it, I am petrified. Am I the only one that feels this way?
I don't know if I'd say petrified, but I'm pissed off. Okay.
Explain Look, how in English.
You keep calling yourself the new face of fear. No, bitch. You're going to be the new face of fear if you beat the dead man, the old face of fear, the current reigning defending fucking face of fear Undertaker. You're not the new face of fear. You didn't beat him.
I like how we can
You're not the new fucking face of fear.
This is why we need a video podcast.
You didn't earn that.
Just
you
make
lost
sure his colors
it.
Colors and everything. Weird.
Like, why? Why is he continuing? He's acting like he beat the Undertaker. He didn't beat the Undertaker. You know what this is going to be? This is going to be the setup for the rematch at WrestleMania 32. The same way how it was with fucking Triple H, where Triple H was like, "Yeah, I kind of beat you." No, you didn't. You didn't beat me. Yeah, I did. Fight me again. No. Bitch, you suck. Shawn Michaels marrying you. I'm going to fucking fight you. This is what's going to happen. Basically, Undertaker's going to tell Bray Wyatt, Kane is scarier than you. Bitch, fuck you. I'm going to fight you again at WrestleMania. And then he's going to fucking lose again. And he'll never be the next face of
like,
fear.
What are you talking about
anymore? Ever. What are you talking about? He's not the fucking face of fear. He's the face of nothing. He's the face of losing to the Undertaker. That's what he's the face of. He's the face of losing to fucking Undertaker at WrestleMania. After Undertaker's already lost a fucking match, he doesn't need to be built up anymore. Oi! Chingado! Yes, I'm mad.
What are we talking about again?
Yeah.
How can you talk
yes,
that?
They deserve to die, and I hope they burn in hell!
Add Bray Wyatt to the list of wrestlers that I would like to see back in NXT. I think his time on the main roster is done. Overdone. Time to go. and I can't. I don't think either one of us can add any more to whatever that was.
Sorry, I brought it up in the first place.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask one more time. Is there anything else from WWE that we need to talk about?
He just came over here.
I got it all out. I'm fine. Travis, do you have anything else?
Do you need a cigarette?
No, I'm fine.
There's something else in your mouth?
Not that big. All right.
But one.
Don't look at me like I was going to offer it to you the way you said it. WrestleThon.
Yay, WrestleThon. This weekend, starting Friday night, all day Saturday, then
a terrible episode.
conclusion on Sunday. WrestleThon again is going down. WrestleThon 2. This is basically the same thing that we were involved with last year. A friend of ours, Jake, he started up this whole thing where basically he's going to be on Twitch playing wrestling video games for 48 hours straight, all to help. For help a charity that's called Children's Play Charity. Basically, what that charity does is they give toys and video games and stuff to children's hospitals for kids that are in the hospital for extended periods of stay. You know, try to make them feel a little bit more like home and like their kids and stuff to kind of keep their mind off of, you know, what's going on with them in the hospital. So, you know, it's for a good cause. It's a cool thing. You could find the event page on Twitch at twitch.tv/WrestleThon. You could also find them on Twitter at WrestleThon. And they also have an email, WrestleThon@gmail.com, and they're also on Facebook, Facebook.com/WrestleThon. So it's gonna be pretty cool. We're gonna try to make an appearance on there as well. We've yet to hammer out the details about who and what time and whatever, but we'll be on there. We'll be helping out. So check it out. Again, this weekend, it's for a good cause. So go on there, watch us make fools of ourselves, donate a little bit of money for the niños. Mm-hmm. It goes to the kids. So it's a good cause. And we had, you know, a pretty successful event with that last year. So we're doing it again this year. So it's pretty cool. So
like you earned over $1,000?
I don't remember what the final tally was.
I think it was a hair over a grand.
Yeah.
Was it? Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So yeah, well, maybe we'll earn a little bit more again this year. So yeah, check it out. Ta-da! So that's that. I have a little announcement to make. We're gonna
have a boy.
Kinda. it's gonna be a male that's gonna be on the episode next week. We're gonna have a special guest interview next week.
Ah,
yes.
Yes. We've been bragging about Lucha Underground the past couple of since ever.
Yeah.
And we're going to share in it with.
With somebody that's actually on the TV, on Lucha Underground, friend of the show, been on the show before, Hernandez.
Yes.
Supermex. Or, you know, as we knew him way back before he became famous as Hot Stuff Hernandez.
Yeah.
He's going to come on to the show next week. So I look forward to chatting with him. I'm sure you guys are looking forward to it as well. Get to talk a little bit about Lucha Underground. In fact, when I was texting with him about, you know, trying to get him on the show and all this and that, it just so happens. He's like, hey, man, yeah, I just got home a few minutes ago. Came back from California from Lucha Underground tapings. Like, oh, well, that's awesome.
Speaking of,
let's talk about Lucha Underground. And he's said that he's down and he's willing to come on next week, so yeah,
exclusivo. Cool.
So pretty stoked about that, having Hernandez on again.
Yeah, we're kind of a big deal around here.
Yeah. Text message conversations with professional wrestlers on television.
Yeah,
we have arrived, my friend.
Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah.
All right, so the next Lone Star Championship Wrestling event is coming up on May the 30th. So, you know, mark that on your calendars. I might be taking part again on another Quick Draw episode. So keep your eyes peeled to Facebook for that. I'll share that on there.
And then July.
Yes.
At the Pasadena Convention Center.
July 12th.
Busting for Autism.
Yes.
Guest, Alberto El Patron.
Yeah.
The theme here, Lucha Underground. Not that we're shilling, you know.
Well, I mean, he's not the only guest. There will be more. There's already a few that have already been announced.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it looks from another one for Lucha Underground. Yeah, yeah. There's going to be quite a few surprises come July 12th at that Lone Star Championship Wrestling. Like you said, it is in conjunction with the Bustin' for Autism. They're a charity that donates money and stuff to autism research and awareness. They're teaming up Clutch City Productions and Lone Star Championship Wrestling and Bustin' for Autism. They're all teaming up together to do that big event down at the Pasadena Convention Center. And I said Clutch City Productions. Chris kind of fell asleep on the job over here.
Consider!
There you go. This guy.
You're fired.
Alright, so interesting, exciting stuff coming along this weekend and in the future and whatnot. So it's going to be a fun summer. A long sprummer, as we said a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Alright, anything else we got before we get out of here, guys?
Did you hear the thing about Bray Wyatt? No, just kidding. Oh.
Don't get me started.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles.
Bravo!
I loved that.
Oh, it was great.
Well, it was pretty good.
Well, it wasn't bad.
Well, there were parts of it that weren't very good, though.
It could have been a lot better.
I didn't really like it.
It was pretty terrible.
It was bad.
It was awful.
I was terrible.
Get him away!
Hey, boo!
Boo!